Yes, we know
what this mano, shalovas mano, that those are technical local terms which relate to Pesach by definition. But the more global terms of amino and shalov amino. These are not restricted to Chametz and Pesach, it's applied to all Yisurei Torah. And we find disputes here, there, and everywhere. With respect to min d'mino, there's a fundamental dispute amongst the Tanoim from one extreme to the other. Min d'mino is either batel b'rov, follow the majority, but the other extreme, min d'mino is b'mashu, that's the opinion of the Tana Rabbi Yehuda. According to almost all authorities, we paskin min d'mino is b'rov midoraisa. However, Rashi on the Flamin of an Aleph, based on this Gemara, Amar Rava, Hilchos Chomes Bizmano Bemino Beshlam Bemino, also the Mashu Karaf. So he says we must paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, that his Suri Torah are Bemashu. Right? The Chain Halacha, he says. So we paskin like Koli Suri Torah. That's Rashi's view based on this, believe it or not. This Gemara, this seemingly innocent Gemara, the top two lines of the Flamin, quote to Rashi, changes the entire world. Not limited to Chometz on Pesach, but after all, Kirab, and Rav said it, B'chol Yisurei Torah. So Rashi is among the small minority of Rishonim who paskin, the Min B'mino is B'mashu. Almost all Rishonim paskin differently, like the Rabbanan, the majority against Rabbi Yehuda, the Min B'mino, Minatorah is B'rov. However, Min B'mino, Minatorah B'rov, they were Chazal were afraid you might mix up Mino with She'eno Mino. She'eno Mino is a whole different story. Why is She'eno Mino different? Because if it's She'eno Mino, on a simple level, it gives taste. And if it gives taste, one of two things. It's either what's called Nikar or Iser. We spoke about this yesterday and Shir. The Iser is recognizable through its taste. Or a separate thing, which is known as Tam Ki Ikar, that the Tam is an independent violation. It could be both. But many times we said it could be both. Both might exist in different situations. And therefore, min bim she'eno mino, we pask in the halacha, it's what we'll call in our language b'shishin, or b'no same time. Again, 1 in 6 is an approximation of how much would give taste and how much would not give taste. More than 1 in 60 would give taste. Less than 1 in 60, generally speaking, would not give taste. Fine. That's a dim, which is either doraisa or derabona. Some say it's doraisa because tam kikar is doraisa. Rashi again against the consensus. Paskin that Tam Kikar is not the Oraisa. Where did Rashi get it from? Gemara Avodah Zarah that we read yesterday in Shir, the son of Zion is a Rashi Mechulin, Tzadiches, where Rashi says that Gemara says, Tama Uma Mosho Lokin Olo Kazayas Befe Achilas Pras, a Shir we saw here in Iran. That means a Kazayas, it's a ratio. It's a Kazayas of Iser within an Achilas Pras. Who wants to guess what the ratio is? We never gave it an arithmetic ratio. You have to know the two things to know. What's the ratio between a Kazayas and a Kebetza? Issue number one. And issue number two, how much is the Pras? A Pras is a half a loaf. You know, they say in America, a half a loaf is better than none. Right? But what is a half a loaf in terms of measuring by eggs? Eggs is our common measurement. It all depends how much a full loaf is. Very good. You're right. How much is a full loaf? Anybody know?
12.
That's a high. That's a, what is that?
8.
Very good. 8. So some say 8, some say 6. So a pras is either 4 or 3. So it's unclear that the pras, the half of the loaf, is either the size of 3 eggs or size of 4 eggs. What's the ratio between a zayis and an egg?
A lot.
So our good friend is saying that just open up, get an egg, get an olive, and measure. Get it? Just measure yourself. What's so hard? Go to the grocery store, right? Buy an egg. Okay, buy a dozen eggs. I'll sell you an egg. So buy an egg, and then buy an olive. And with Archimedes' principle, it shouldn't be too hard to figure out the ratio of one to another. The problem, as I already told you once before, if you look on the Shulchan Aruch, you get a whole different story. Open up the Siman Tov Pei Vav, just to refresh your memories. It's not a topic for today, but just once we're on, we're discussing the idea of the cross. Tov pei vav sif aleph. Well, I have to read it, but you have to come in every day with a Gemara and a Mishnah Berurah. Beyond that, we'll try to use a screen. But this you have to have. So tov pei vav sif aleph. Shir kazayis yesh omrim da'avi kechatzi beitza. Wow. Who's ever in his life seen an olive as big as a half an egg? In your whole life, ever seen an olive as big as a half an egg? What's going on in there? Toys saw such an olive?
Did you see any olives?
That's right. Did you see any olives? Olives didn't grow in northern France or Germany. But Toys gets him a whole convoluted proof from a Toys from a Gemara and two Gemaras about a base of Blia. Whatever it may be, I'm not going into the details. Many poskim say that this is completely off. Even the other shiur which is found, there's a shlish beitza, there's a third, is also off. Even with the gross said it's 3/10, which is less, is even also off. And they say it's a really a ratio of much bigger ratio. So it could be kazayis. There could be 10 or more olives to fill up the size of an egg, but I give you an assignment. Go to get an olive, get an egg, and measure it. And there are all kinds of sperm who did it, who done it, you have to do it. Midot v'shira Torah, he measured it, and it's a very small percentage. Just, that's not for time. Yes, sir?
How do you know what size olives they're using?
That's another good question. For our purposes, take the biggest olive. Take the smallest egg. Even the biggest olive and the smallest egg, it's not a half, it's not a third, it's not 3/10. I don't think so. I think it's much smaller than that. Even the biggest olive and the smallest egg, I think so. But double check. Go. Find your biggest olive and your smallest egg and see if you can get the olive to be even 30% of the egg. I don't think you'll do it. That's the smallest shear on the books based on the comparisons in the shas. So you have to be bold and say that those comparisons are, for whatever reason, not measuring what we want to know and just look at this look. But that's what I call the kazayas cotton. And that's very relevant because we spoke about this, for example. We spoke about it last week before, about how big the kazayasim should be for your bedikas chometz. Forget the matzah, bedikas chometz. So all those little crumbs on there. More kazayas, that's the pen, so yes. They're probably bigger than an olive that we have, probably smaller than the shiur I found over here in Tav Peiv. Yes, sir.
So here, could it be the afilas pass has nothing to do with the amount of time?
Achilas pass a certain amount of time. Because they had no watches, no clocks. So they had to measure things in terms of activities of the human being. So an activity of a human being is eating a half a loaf of bread. It's a loaf of motion we've seen, I think Mara says. What kind of bread? Is it a bread of wheat? Also, that's Chitasar. I said, it's wheat bread, which is, of course, what? Is it whole wheat bread? Is it white bread? Is it bagels? You know, I go figure out what. Doesn't say the farish there. With lifton, has a peanut butter on. If you don't have peanut butter, a place they can't bring it in, but whatever, butter or some other jam, lift them.
So why does the shear for the taruas factor in how long it takes to eat a particular amount of chametz? Why isn't it like more objective that if it has a particular amount of chametz?
No, it is. It's a ratio. Because I see the Achilles cross is a ratio which is going to be relevant to somebody who's eating. He sits and eats for the entire. There's another fight we're both saying. How long does it take to eat a half a loaf of bread? How are we defining? Remember, the half a loaf of bread, that's a much smaller gap. It's either the size of 3 eggs or the size of 4 eggs. That's a mishnah. You can't argue with that. It's a Rambam and a Rana and a Rashi. That's bounded. But most 3 to 4 eggs. Oh, there's one more thing though. How big is an egg? You may recall that the Mishnah Berurah said that our I showed you this once before. The Mishnah Berurah said that our eggs are only half the eggs that they used to be. That's a tzlach in Masechta. Psachim Kuf Tezayin, which is so hard to understand, that how can that be? It's against all the. We have eggs from antiquity, they were preserved. Yeah, they really are eggs, and then they're the same as our eggs. If anything, they're a little smaller. But our eggs are not smaller than theirs, if anything, it's the other way around. The more is basically stayed the same. So I guess that's another factor to take into. You double the eggs, you're doubling the size. And double the time it takes to eat the achilas pras. Estimates range from 2 minutes to 9 minutes. That's a pretty big range. 4.5 times as much. 2 to 9. who's right? I don't know, probably somewhere in between. And that's in terms of looking at your clock. You know, how quickly must your kazayas matzah or your kazayas of challah to bench. This is relevant every day, not only on Pesach. Every day is relevant. Every single day is relevant. And how big is a kazayas? So you take a kazayas of the Shulchan Aruch, half a beitzah, you gotta eat a lot. Take a kazayas cotton, you have to only have to eat a little. These are, I can't solve all these problems. These are problems which are, I can present them, but I can't really fully solve them. Anyway, in any event, we got a little bit far afield. We're discussing over here the idea of our sugya. We want to know the basic halacha in terms of min b'mino and min b'sheino mino. Let's review again. So min b'mino, a machlokas from one extreme to the other. Either it's batel b'rov or it's b'mashal. Most posts say batel b'rov. Rashi, based on our Gemara Karav, passing like Rabbi Yehuda, min b'mino is b'mashal. Min b'sheino mino, according to most poskim, tam ki ikar is daraisa, and therefore if you taste it, there's a daraisa violation. Not necessarily one which yields malchus. That's a whole thing machlekas I started talking about a little yesterday. We'll just can't go into it too much detail right now. But it needs a daraisa, and Rashi implies again based on the Gemara and Avodah Zarah I started talking about that kazayas bechilas pras is also v'lokan olav, and if it's less than that, the smaller ratio. You have less Easter than that. It's also if it ain't lokan olav. Why ain't lokan olav? You didn't eat enough tarfus. You eat at a normal pace, presumably. You eat until the watch goes ding, and the chiyus process is over. How much of real tarfus did you eat? Less than kazayis. Chatzishi osim in the Torah. Ain't lokan olav. It's on a simple level. Correct Rashi, what happened to Tam Kika? The answer is Rashi. We don't pass with Tam Kika. That's a Rashi in Chul and Tzadikas. But most Rishonim said we do pass in Tam Kika. I was the Gemara mean over there in Avodah Zarah. Also vein lokan olav. To be also vein daraisa vein lokan olav. Tam kikas din daraisa without malchus. Quote the sum. There are many different ways to skin this cat. It's beyond our discussion for right now. Suffice to say, the consensus view of most Rishonim is min b'mino is b'daraisa b'rov. But they made a gzera mino oto eino mino that if it's less more than 160, it's also. Again, lach palach, it's all mixed in. Min b'she'eno mino, midoraisa is b'shishim. Based on Tam Kiker. Any questions so far? Is this going basic stuff? Let's go back to the very beginning. Basics. Okay. So in this sugi, there are four opinions. Rav, Shmuel, Rav Yochanan, and finally Rav that we pass the light. And they're arguing at a number of different points. One, the point we just mentioned, how we pass in the Nindamina. Rav and Shmuel say the Mashu. Rabbi Yochanan says Benos in Tam, which is Dinder Rabbanan, but the right thing is Barov. And Rava seems to be following Kirav, according to Agirsa. The question, what does he mean? Is he passing like Rav all the way, as Rashi understood? Or is it, as Tosa understood? No, he's only following Rav here. Because of Chumr the Chomitz. But generally speaking, we don't follow Rav. We follow, that's Batel Barov. That's reason number one. Why is Machmir here B'mashu? Assume we have the Girsa Mashu. Reason number two is what's called Dova Shiesh Lamatirim. We spoke about it at some length yesterday. We'll have to come back to it. A second reason which Duran discusses, explaining the opinion of Rav. And there are those who take out those two words, B'mashu K'Rav. And many take it out, and they pass the Nalach Alamaisa. That even chametz is b'shishin. Take out those two words of the girsa, right? The riff, even though he didn't have it in his girsa, says it probably means mashu. So the fact that Rav is saying a chumra as opposed to what came before, and the shulta says no, it's really b'shishin. And the post can go back and forth. Halacha l'maaseh we paskin the min we paskin like Rav as we have it printed in our Talmud Bavli. Okay, also b'mashu. Why? Said before. Chumr the chametz or what? Yesh lamatirin. What's a possible nafkamina? Erev Pesach. Erev Pesach. Rabbi will say there's no kares. So therefore, if you hold this a chumr the kares, maybe it wouldn't apply. If you hold davar yesh lamatirin, so it should apply.
Also a taroves, right?
You meant taroves.
Taroves. There's no kares on the taroves, but it's probably a davar yesh lamatirin. It's mixed before.
You're asking a different question. You're asking, that if chametz of Pesach is a davar shesh matirin, so it should, and davar shesh matirin is universally accepted, so how can it be that there are people who argue with Rav? Yeah, so that's Ramban asked that question. Rabbi Yochanan, for example, Rabbi Yochanan says, "Bein b'mino bein shlo b'mino," right? Chometz, "Bein b'mino bein shlo b'mino," is benosin tam. How can I be if it's the eshlo matir? That's a good question. Rabbi asked a question. You know what Rabbi answers? If you look at Masechta in the Dorim, Tafnun Zayin and Ches, the one who has this principle of davar she'eshlo matirin afilel flabot is Rabbi Shimon. And Rabbi Yochanan probably didn't pass like Rabbi Shimon. That's why he says that Chametz of Pesach is benosin tam, and doesn't even though it's the eshlo matir. The Rabbeinu David goes as far as to say that all the Amoroi kamoi, the early Amoroim, never used the expression eshlo matir because they showed us shalok halacha. Who came along? Rav Ashi, the last Amora, the one who edited the Talmud. He's the one who says in Beitza at the beginning and at the end that we should follow the principle of davish eshlo matir. Rav Yochanan from the Amoroi Kamoi, he didn't hold the whole thing. Rava, it could be his coming towards the Amoroi Basroi. Not going into history. The generally speaking, the Amoroim lived through five generations. Not a historian. But Rav Yochanan was obviously the first generation. Those who know, he's almost a Tana, right? And Rav Ashi was the last generation. And Rava's the next to the last. So somewhere along the lines, the principle of Yeshua Matim became more popularized among this is not a history book. But Rabbi David says, Amoroi Kamoi held Yeshua Matim Shalok Halacha. Only the Rabbi Shimon held that way. And Amoroi Basroi, Rabbi Ravashi, said, no, it's accepted Halacha. The Ramban doesn't say it with those words, that's what he means. As Rabbi David, his loyal Talmud, explained. Okay. I want to take a break for a minute and ask you any questions, because I know I'm saying a lot of things here, just speaking and speaking and speaking, and everyone's being quiet. Why? Say something. Raise your hand. That's it. Yeah?
Can everybody explain some of the important differences between Yavish v'Yavish and Lach v'Lach?
That's another good question. The Rosh said that he spoke about Yavish v'Yavish and Masecht Avodah Zarah. And Masecht Avodah Zarah, the Rosh is of the opinion that Yavish v'Yavish is Mutter, Chometz v'Pesach, the same as any other Yisurim, Chad b'Trei. Chad b'trei batel. So if you have two matzahs, which are Pesach thick, and one matzah, which is chametz thick, everything's okay. Kach goes for Torah. Xeras HaKosef. But we don't find that the Rabbanim said different. You look at Yoredei Simon Kluftes. That's a din. Allah HaLamayis. There's no intricacies. Can one person eat all three in a sandwich? Can I eat all three? You know, three thin matzahs. In one bite, I have all three. One of them is certainly considered the chametz thick. Doesn't matter. Bottle. Some say you need to do that. Some say that's too much, man. In one bite, you can go over it. But you can eat all three matzahs one after the other. One, and then another, and then another. Because each one, whenever I eat one matzah, the other two. One of the other two is a problem. And then you can eat all three, one after the other. And some say one person can't eat all three at all. Someone else can eat it. That's your Adeya Sugya and Simon Kuf test. You can't go into all the details thereof. But in any event, the Rosh Paskins that whatever the din is true by any other Yisurim, so too is true of Chametz of Pesach. Shulchan Aruch Tav Mem Zayin calls that as a Yesh Omrim, and the first opinion is that it's more Machmir. That Yavish B'Yavish is also even in Shari Suri, excuse me, on Chametz of Pesach. We saw this already yesterday in Simon Tav Mem Zayin. I'm happy to see it again. I'm not lazy to take out a Mishnah Berurah. Siftes, Yavish v'Yavish, Afagav to the Shari Surim Chad b'Trei Batel, Chometz b'Matzah Afilu b'Elef Lo Batel. Okay. This is one opinion. The Yesh Amrim the Chometz Shav the Shari Surim b'Zeh. What's a Machlokes? It wouldn't be the first or last thing that's in a Machlokes in this world. As I told you before, the Rosh refers you here to what he said in Avodah Zarah. There he said it is permissible. That's the opinion of the Rosh himself. And that is a second opinion quoted in the Shulchan Aruch in Simen Tov Mem Zayin Siv Tes. If you look on the side, they tell you where to find the various opinions. Okay, we're supposed to look at the Masechta, the Mordechai Simen Tov Kuf Nun Gimel. I don't think we were there. I don't remember. We have a lot of Mordechais on the Maromakomus. Do I have my Maromakomus here? I think, a copy. We really haven't seen them. Oh, here they are. Tav Kuf Nun Gimel is on the list, if I'm not mistaken. Make sure I'm right.
Yes,
it is. Let's take a look together. Tav Kuf Nun Gimel in the Morah. Please, you don't mind? I'm trying very hard to stick to these two Svarim. So you can see things inside. Now, yesterday we had to show you a tour and a Magen Avraham. Sometimes I can't help it, but I know the Indian is complicated. I'm trying, whenever possible, to quote source that you can actually see. And those are like I didn't, like, this is the tour. You can look it up. By the way, I went to the library today. I found there were 3 different volumes already of this new Mishnah Berurah. Aleph, Beis, and Gimel. I'm not sure how far it went. Aleph went until Tuf Nun Beis, so it had Tuf Mem Zayin. I looked up the Sharatian. There's a star there. I was very hopeful to find something. I'm not sure what the star even means. End of the day, I found nothing that didn't answer our question, which is such an obvious question. If the people editing it didn't they look up the Torah? Either I'm making a terrible mistake, or they missed. I don't know what to say. I looked it up. I couldn't find it. But you're all deputized to try to find an answer to that painful question. What we say, Tav Kuf what? Nun
Gimel.
Okay, here we go. Kikah shel chamesh in the sarif and kikah shel matzah. Eino bata li'olam. There you go. Okay. And even if it's not a choshev a kikah, kikah konch, eino choshev ke kikah shel nachlam, which is the davish of a minyan. No, even p'chusim ikan. Oh, bogab, the yavish, the yavish, chad betray botil, afil madrabon, and shari, as I told you a minute ago. Vital time of the kilim of the rabbon and the fee. She called echad vi echad omen bifnei atzma. The ochel called echad bifnei atzma. Can't have a sandwich of all 3 matzahs, but you can eat each one separately. The kevish is battle barov, dvar torah, sulo chashinon, the bekochar amin and zeshel heteru. When I eat the first one, this is mutter. Second one, this is mutter. There is a contradiction, doesn't matter, it's echazet. Ben varim elu amurim elu be yisturi no snei tamim. The kevin shein yisru el machmas tama ovi ev shaloma b'chol chad eno toam achshav tama shal yisur l'chachei kilubo ava b'yisur ben shech b'yir ben le'osu v'le malam in the sinas tam. So whenever you have a classical yisur, which the cutoff point if it's mixed in is 1 in 60, so when I eat the matzah separately, nothing gives tam, so by definition it's het gama the hainu l'malam yishishim. Yeah, ein hefresh ben yovish l'bolul. Shere lo machmas tamen bilvad asarum, elachomeru shechmiru biyisurin elu. See what's going on? It makes a logical point. If something is batal b'shishim, if it's lach b'lach, then yavish b'yavish is mutter because there's no tam. But if something is us even beyond 1 in 60, 1 in 100, 1 in 1,000, 1 in 10,000, it's still usher. Obviously the chazal machmir beyond the sinas tam. So the whole mile of yavish b'yavish, there's no tam from one to another, is lost. Truma. Even Yavish be Yavish, Eina Ola be Pachos mi Meya, Vechein Nira le Rashba. Says Truma, which if it's mixed in together, it's 1 in 100. Yavish be Yavish, he says it's 1 in 100. And if a Pesach, where if it's mixed together, it's 1 in 1 billion Asers. I shouldn't say the word billion, that's too hard a word. 1 in 1,000, I don't know what you want to say. Asers. So therefore, if it's separate, also 1 in 1,000 ounces. So says the Rashba. Rashba presumably here means not the Rashba that we know, Rabbi Shimshon ben Avraham, because the Mordechai is from the Baal HaTosfos, and it's the Rashbi Shantz, the Tosfos Shantz. It's very likely he ran over here an hour daf. If you look in the Tosfos, the Rashba, Tosfos Shantz. Fine. I mentioned to you before that the Rosh in Avodah Zarah disagrees, as he implies over here. Look what I wrote over there. He meant he made a wrote a cool, and the 2 days are in the Mechaber, Tov Mem Zayin Siv Tes. Good. Okay? More questions, Rav Ossi. More questions. I want questions. I don't want it to be a monologue over here. I heard that the Tamid are struggling with these complicated sugyas. So ask questions. Lo Habayshon Lomeid. Yes, sir.
Is it Rabbeinu Yechiel Mipariz, each of those insects in the tarnacle? So is that, he says that it's mutter to sell because you're not raising the price.
Right.
So, is the I think we had said in Shir that the Rabbi had said in Shir that the reason that Rabbeinu Yehi, or at least the Shulchan Aruch, to resolve this year in the Shulchan Aruch, that between Tafs Sadat Zayin and Taf
Mem Zayin,
monetary Hana isn't Hana.
Right. Now, guess where I found? You know, where I found that. I found it in the back of the Mishnah Berurah that I have at home. This Mishnah Berurah is much fancier. It has dots. I would trade in the dots. Oh, it has a Chazon Ish too. No need to trade it. The Chazon Ish, when he quotes that distinction that we saw of the Alter Rebbe and Tuf son of Zion, I didn't look up the Alter Rebbe himself. I didn't get a chance. So the Mishnah Berurah, they quoted from the Alter Rebbe. Right? He quotes over Yesharat Tzion, Sivkot Nayin Gimel. The Alter Rebbe said, if you cannot remove the Chita and the Guf HaChometz is there, you cannot sell it to the Goy. And the Chazon Ish says, no. Kevan She'ein HaChometz Nikar V'einam Nimkeres B'yoga B'shul HaChita Mutar Afil B'chei Agav. We didn't remove it. Limkar Chor L'Goy. I, the Shulchan Aruch said, and Simon Tofem Zayin, also Ba'ano. Says the Chazon Ish, you know what it means? You can't give it to your dog. You mentioned this yesterday. Anyone have the two different? Who has the Mishnah Berurah? I don't know how to say it. I think it's the Vakshol Mishnah Berurah. That Moznayim maybe it has in the back Chazon Ish. Maybe. Look, if it has Chazon Ish in the back.
Yeah.
So please look it up under Siman Tov Sam of Zion Sharatzian Ayin Gimel.
Yeah.
What's the last line in that comment? Read the last line to me.
Yeah, Rosa Lomer the Usher Litan
the Kalva, right. Can't give it to your dog. They quote the Chazon Ish verbatim. These guys, I don't like them. They give a summation of the Chazon Ish. I can make my own summation. Tell me what he says. Just print the words. That's the better edition that Mordechai has, okay? And I'm a little bit bothered by this. I'll tell you the truth. I'm a little bit bothered by it. The passion is like this. We have a distinction between what I call financial Hano and physical Hano. Physical Hano means I smell something, I rub it on my skin. My body is having some Hano from the item. That's one category. And financial Hano is another category. That I understand. But the Chazon Ish is putting the example of giving it to your dog in the category of physical Hano. That I don't fully grasp. True, my dog has physical Hano. My dog is not Chayav HaMitzvahs. Last I looked. Right? So who's Chayav HaMitzvahs? I am. So what? I got a financial Hano that my dog is satisfied with this stuff and I don't have to go buy new stuff in the store. So why is that fundamentally like physical and not like financial selling it? I'm not completely sure about that. Yes?
So the earlier in this man we saw the Yushami that Rebbe's feeding to Behemoth Shalhefker, and some say that's because a person is nene from feeding animals. It's like feeding an animal at a petting zoo, not that the person saving money from what he's feeding to his animal, but that's what the
Chazon Ish means. Maybe that's what he means. You know what he's saying? Not the financial Hano, it's the physical Hano, physical slash emotional Hano that I get from feeding the animal. Could be. That's an interesting thought. I mean, it's an interesting thought. I gotta think about it, because it's very fuzzy. You know, and halacha is often more rigorous than that. You know, I know you smell something, you know, physical went to your nose, you rub something, but what you call it kind of touchy feely, which is sort of more emotional, it's a chiddush to me that would be considered to be hana, but maybe you're right.
What about like in kiddushin, where the hana is like,
right?
He or she gives him a present.
Right. So would that be also nisur hana? It's good enough to marry a woman, but let's say. I don't know. The Isha gives something to the man, and as the fact that he receives it gives her a certain amount of Hano. Okay? Let's see, the thing which she gave him was an Isra Hano. Is she in violation of Isra Hano? She's over an Isra Daraisa of Isra Hano because she gave it to some guy and he accepted it? Maybe. Look it up. I've also said, I really, you know, because we glossed over the sugya, and I really want to look it up. The sugya really is found over here in Pesachim. That's a sugya which if we start it, we'll never get out of it, but we're making some references to it. That's the Gemara Nef Chafalaf Mebeis, the famous Gemara, Amach Hiskia, right? And Rabbi Abbo. Rabbo is even more important. Kamokam Shenema lo yocha lo socha lo sochlu, echad isra nechila, v'rech isra no b'mashma. So the Nisra Anah, what is that? What kind of Anah is Rabbi Abo talking about? What kind of Anah is Rabbi Abo talking about? I understood he's talking about physical Anah, as opposed to financial Anah. And I even thought as opposed to emotional Anah, but I'm not sure. We've got to look it up. So Rabbi Abo, you have a chance to look it up in the various sources and see what it says. I mean, there is a source on the side over here. It says to look in a Rambam in Perek Ches, Halacha Tezvov, in Macholas and Surus. Yes?
One more point about the Yerushalmi. So the Yerushalmi says...
What Yerushalmi? I'm not sure exactly. I don't have the Yerushalmi at my fingertips.
So in the beginning of the second parak, it says that a person can't feed chametz to behemah shel hefer. The Shulchan Aruch says that a person puts out chametz and they see that it has a bit eaten, they have to get rid of it. So the Yerushalmi says it applies even to behemah shel hefer. So this person doesn't get any financial hana by feeding to the Hamishal Hefker, and also the Beis Yosef extends that the feeding is feeding someone else's animals. Or feeding with someone else's chametz. So
if I take Reuven's, I'm Jewish. I take John's chametz and I give it to Jim's animal, that's awesome. Because I'm having hana.
Yeah.
What kind of hana do I have? It's emotional hana. Okay, so do we pass the Shulchan Aruch at Yerushalmi?
The Torah passes, or the Torah quotes it, and the Shulchan Aruch passes that way.
We have Simon to tell what Simon is. I'll look it up. We can all look it up together. We like to be informed on both sides. I don't want to be lack of information. I want to get a full disclosure. Maybe I'm just being too much of a litvak. I don't know, a chassidish. They emphasize feelings more. The Baal Shem Tov. I'm just thinking like, oh, if there's no physical hano, so I can't plug into it. Let's take a look. Taf mem hay sif gimel. Take a look. Always like to learn. Taf mem hay sif gimel. Kol zman isur yachol hashlichol b'makom she'orfim metzuyim sham. Im it's all achas mani sura shlo achlu ar arvim achal pisha mokom hefker lo eni chena sham el yivaren.
Also in it's clear in Simon Tatman Ches by Mishka Drosim Chaldim Chav Ches
Tav Mem Ches Sif Vav Asur is Yerushalmi. Very good. Asur lahachil chemtzo bepesach afilu lebehemes acherim o shel hefker. Look at that. Beautiful. You're 100% right, Mr. Baruch HaFches. T'yesh lo hanova meshe memalei ritzono laspia lebehema. Wow. Look at this. Sharatia 9a. Masha lechora de oraisa v'lo mishum chumra de chametz. Wow. Amazing. The Gro disagrees. Okay. But look, he says that you're right. Emotional hano. Wow. And therefore, if it's not his, you can't give it to the dog for the same reason. It's Yisr hano. It belongs to a guy. Wow. Okay, I stand corrected on both sides. Listen, the Gro may be like me. Because the Gro says it's only a chumah by chumah for whatever reason. But apparently emotional hanah counts. So if you give it to your kelev, you can be ushered for that reason. Wow. Very good. I like it. Shkoyach. B'tamid ayosu mikulam. I was wondering how to say pshat this Chazon Ish. Now I understand. Good. I wonder what Chazon Ish says about this. Get a chance to look. Doesn't matter. We're talking about chometz. Even if it's only in the chometz. But okay, fine. Shkoyach. Narabosai. We started discussing the opinion of Rav. So I have to tell you that I never got to this yesterday at all. I got so sidetracked. There's a tshuva sarah, the footnote on the tour quotes. I looked it up. Simon Nuntes. The tshuva sarah is the following case. Listen to this case. There was a chametz mixed in before Pesach, less than 1 in 60. So the Ran says, you know, you better make sure to get rid of this chametz before Pesach. Because if Pesach comes in, it's a probably called Chozer V'nir. We saw it a little bit yesterday in the Mordechai. So the question is, why is the cutoff according to the Ran Pesach? The cutoff should have been when? Chatzos! Didn't the Ran say Beferish over here in our daf that Erev Pesach is not considered to be Shalom Bezmano? That's the famous Ran. The Ran presumably arguing with the Rush, we thought, and saying that it's not considered to be Shalom Bezmano. That's the Ran here on page Chof. Page Chof. Where the Ran says, Bezmano is Mishay Shal Solomala. So the Birkei Yosef is Kash. There's a steer between the Ran in Psachim, right over here on page Chaf, and the Ran in the Tshuva, Simin Nuntes. There he says the cutoff point is when Pesach comes in, then and only then is it Chozer V'nir. And here he says the cutoff point is Chatzos. So the answer that Mordechai suggested is that the Ran was very careful over here. He never used the word Mashu. Remember, the Gemara never had the word Mashu. Look in the Rif. Omar Rava, Hilchasa. Chomets bismano, ben bimino, ben bimino, asur. What does asur mean? Asur means in contrast to the sefer, where it could be bottle barov, or bechdechilas pras, depending on what kind of terubis and when it got mixed in. Here, it's more asur than that. But it might only be asur b'tisinas tam. Doesn't say beferish b'mashu. The rif is medayik in some cases, it should be b'mashu, but not beferish in the Gemara. So therefore, that perhaps is what the Ran is saying over here. All he meant was to say, all Rava meant to say, was that it's Asur, but he never said explicitly how Asur really is. He never really said so. He never said so. As a matter of fact, it's implicit in the Ran here, and it's even more explicit in the Chidushi Ran, that the Ran never really took a stand over here. The Ran is on page Chaf Aleph. The Ran is on page Chaf Aleph. He's going through the various reasons of why it's b'mashu, as the Rif said. Either because of Chumra, either he passed the three reasons. He paskins like Rav all the time, that's Rashi. Chumra de Kores is the standard version, Rosh. And Yesh Lamatirin is the third version. Now, if it's Yesh Lamatirin, it should certainly be also from Erev Pesach. But if it's a question of Chumra de Kores, there is no Kores, as we said before. Now, so here, let me read, if I can read it from the Chidushi Aran, again, I'm sorry to bring an outside source, but I think it's important for me to read it to you, if only briefly. See, we want to make sure, again, that the Ran in Pesachim should not be contradictory to the Ran in the Tshuva. In Tshuva, Simen Nuntes. I wrote it down somewhere. Tshuva, Simen Nuntes. Oh. Here it is. So the question is raised, again, this is Mordechai's question in effect, is the Birkei Yosef says Katan Zion, that there's a steer between the Ran in the Tshuva and the Ran over here. Now the Ran, as I said before, this is again Mordechai's point, never said Beferish that it's B'mashu. I'm going to read you the Ran in this Chidushi. And if you have a chance, you can look it up yourself in the Chidushi Ran on this Sugi. That's what he means here in the Perish in the Rif, but it's more Beferish over here. Rava lo osi lemifsak. I'm reading it to you. Rava didn't come to decide. Bishari suin shabatora b'minon ibamashu ibanosan ta. Lo nachas lachi klal. Rava's not telling, he's not going to involve in the fight to the finish between Rav and Rav Yochanan, whether it's b'mashu like Rav Yehuda or b'shishim with Rabbanan like the Rabbanan. Ella, what is Rava coming to do? What did Shmuel say? Rabbi, what did Shmuel say? Shmuel makes a distinction between what and what? Help. Mino and Eino Mino. And Rav is saying it's incorrect. Also, the Meimah, the Lech, the Mifle, Klal, the Mimino, Meshlo, Mimino, the Bismana, Meshlo, Bismana. That's what Rav is saying. So what, and what therefore is the Shia, pray tell? V'kama, Achi, the Bismana, Mino, Bishlo, Mimino, Shavin, Lesser. At what ratio? I'm not saying. Rav is coy. Lamar, Kedi, Islay, Lamar, Kedi, Islay. The Laman the Oslo Bechol Yisturin Shemitor B'mina B'mashu B'chometz Gazvina Shal B'mino Oto B'mino Karaf U'Laman Dome B'no Sintam that we have at the Paskin like against Rashi Nami Shavin Hain. Shavin Hain what? Shavin Hain what? B'shishim V'lo Borova Elo Loma Shechometz B'mino V'shen B'mino Shavin Hain Be'en B'lif Ne'en Zman B'en Li'ach Azman. What an amazing run. 408 Ulefizen Nimsa Sharovalo Baal Alitchos as Dirish Shmuel, and he didn't comment the pasuk in the machlokes between Rav and Rav Yochanan. But since we have the pasuk of Yochanan, it's going to come out Shishim. That's going to be exactly the pshat. Rav Bosai, that should be the pshat in the Ran in the tshuva. So the Ran in the tshuva, and that's what we paskin. That we have room to be somewhat lenient, at least an Erev Pesach. So that's I'm just quoting this round. It's rather an amazing round. That's pretty what he means over here too. That the Rav is being very coy. He's not really saying what it is. Not saying what it is. Oh, and the Tshuva Saran, what did he say again? Shuvah Saran says as follows that it's Mutta B'shishim. So maybe the Ran is of the opinion in general that it's going to be Mutta B'shishim. We'll have to discuss what is Pesach or Erev Pesach. That's perhaps for another discussion. The Kitzah, that's another way to read this Ran, which is not obvious until you see the Chiddush Ran, because the Ran on the Rif is very, very not clear. Okay, Rabbi Osai answered the question at least partially. Have to go back and see more of it when we have a chance. Any other questions? I'm looking for questions. How come no one has any questions? I thought they was confused. Yes?
In the Ran, when he's talking about about Terobes, that they didn't, that Rav Shimon didn't make a knas on them, right?
Well, so, no, Rav Shimon made a knas, but not by the Gemara. Right,
right,
correct, correct.
So the Ram says, right, he says the perish of Ben Shinis Harib Kodem Pesach Olahara Pesach.
Correct.
But then right after he starts going in, that Pesach, he says that if you were right, in this Harib, the Pesach Kodem Pesach, the Inyan Sheover in Allah, Bayar Bay Motzei Pasach.
Right.
So it isn't that, meaning, what's the difference between the first time that he said Kodem Pesach and the second time that he said Kodem Pesach?
The first time he said it was a case where there's no Bayerah. How can that be? Less than Kazayis with Achilles Pras. According to the Ran, there was no Bayerah in that case.
Then what's the Chiddush of saying? Meaning, you're saying that according to the first.
The Chiddush is?
Because he only put a Kanas on people on if it was Aser. But if you're saying that it wasn't even Aser to begin with.
No. It wasn't an Aser Bayerah to begin with. He wasn't right to leave it there. He should have thrown it out. Because if he may come to eat it, and who knows what. But. There's no Bayerah d'oraisa.
You're saying that there's an Isser even if he's, meaning there's a Knas even if he's not over.
No, I didn't say that. That's the Hava, mean it would be that way. But the Maskana is, since he's not over, unless it's because I'm Achilas Pras, there's no Knas after Pesach, even though he held on to Chometz, which hadn't seen his time, but she wasn't allowed to eat. Doesn't matter. No Bayerah d'oraisa. That's exactly the Chiddush. Okay? Who else has a question? Yes, sir.
So, Rabbeinu Yechiel Mipari, so is it that that he says that that just simply monetary hana isn't hana, or that you're not getting any hana from the fita because you're not raising the price of the.
Well, Rabbi Nechiel is undoubtedly correct. There's no hana from the fita. The question is, what about the hana from the meat? That the meat absorbed the mashu tam from the fita, at least the part of surrounding part. You know, with papua we saw the whole lashon yesterday. So why are we not having hana from that?
That's the Taro from the Taro Pesach.
Right. That's the Mordechai doesn't address at all. That's a significant question. So one answer might be that there's no, it's only a matter of finance over here, and they never made an Easter on it for that purpose. That's certainly possible. Certainly possible. Okay. In any event, according to the Ran, what do we suggest? Erev Yontif is not Shalom is Mano, like as Achas Mano, which is Mutar Ben Osim Tam. All right, and what is it? It's like Bismano, and the halacha depends upon the machlokas Rav and Rav Yochanan, and Rav didn't paskin in the shaila, but we paskin like Rav Yochanan. That's the Tshuvas Haran, and as a matter of fact, the Ran is noted even here to paskin against the Rif. Right. So when the Ran is saying that it's noted a paskin against the Rif, like the Shiltas, that is batel b'shishim. So it could be that in the Tshuvas Haran, where he, if he makes a distinction, I left it on my desk, I don't have it here. If the Tshuvas Haran of a distinction exists between Erev Pesach and Pesach, so the pshat, it may be that the Ran thinks it should even be makel on Pesach, but he's afraid to go against the Rif completely, so he only is willing to stick his neck out on Erev Pesach. That could be pshat not pshara of the Tshuvas Haran. But again, I left it in my room, because they had to remind me on Sunday before I start the shiur. Please remind me on Sunday before I start the shiur to bring in the Tshuvas Haran. It's on my desk. I just forgot it. Okay, so make a note on your thing. Bing, before I start, I should bring, I want to read it to you. The poor, I want to forget these things. I guess it was here now, and suddenly I can certainly forget things already 5 times. Okay, fine. A number of other brief points, I want to talk about the parasha a little bit. A number of other brief points. Now, both sides. We spoke a little bit yesterday about chometz being a davar sheyesh lo matirin. Some say yes, again, some say no. If it's yesh lo matirin, as we said before, it should certainly be usher from shor shishis, right? Chometz erev Pesach should be a no-brainer. It's a yesh lo matirin. Since there are many poskim who say not that way, the rush among the Shulchan Aruch passes like the rush Meikar Adin, so that we should apparently be told it's not a yesh lo matirin. I mean, it's simple, it's just a matter of arithmetic. Open up Rabosai to the din of Erev Pesach. That's in Simen Tov Mem Zayin. We saw this din over here. Tov Mem Zayin, we saw it at the Siv Beis. Chometz shenis arev mishay shol so the malad alayla eina osa b'mashu eladino kishari surin. That's what it says. Black and white in Shulchan Aruch. Yes. And those who disagree, but the Shulchan Aruch says it. Okay. So apparently, behold, it's not a yesh lo matirin. Had it been a yesh lo matirin, it should have been osir too. Right? By definition. It should have been also here too. Right? Take a look at the Bir Halacha, please. The Bamaskal Chometz. Chometz in Nisarev, Vachulei, Kishari Surim. Midisosim ha-Mechaber, Mashmad ha-Filu, B'mino nami dinahachi, the Sagi B'shishim. V'lo mikri Chometz, Dova, Shiesh, Lamatirin. Why? A new reason we didn't discuss yesterday. Shem de Lashana Haba Yerushalayim. Oh no. Lashana Haba Chozer Venesa. Ukadeh Rishona Beshuva Biyardeh Sof Simen Kuf Beis Bagoi and Shom. Amazing, Rabosa. Amazing. He's saying over here that the reason why it's not Yerushalayim, I think it's going to become also the next year. As opposed to the Shach, who suggests that the Mechaber here is only referring to She'eino Mino. Because She'eino Mino, Davar Shel Matirin, is Batel Mi'ikar HaDin. And that's what he says over here, that the quotes over here from the Levush and the Magen Avraham and the Gra, the Mechaber Paskins, Chometz is not considered the Eshel Matirin. And the reason they give is a strange reason. It's going to be us next year again. Who cares? I'm going to ask you a logical question. What should this depend upon, logically? The issue of it being us next year. Anybody? No. It should depend upon the fundamental dispute between Rashi and the Ran as to the Pshat in Dover Sheesh Lamatirin Afilu Be'elef Lo Batel. If the reason is, as I phrase it, as we saw, oh yes, I never read you the Tzlach. I looked it up at home. Tzlach really is there. I'll read it to you from the original. The reason is what? Rashi and Beitza Daf Gimel, Daf Dalet. Achitoch Leno Biyitoch Leno Beheter. Then the fact that it's us next year should be completely irrelevant. You have a whole year in between. Dida Beheter. Obviously referring to Chometz, which can last for a year. In those days, there was only schnapps. Today, I freeze it. It could be anything. But schnapps, we know, is the biggest problem. The beer, the whiskey. Ooh. Okay. So who cares? It's going to be us the next year. You still have a whole year, a year in between. 51 weeks, you're going to be over. But if you hold like the fancy footwork of the Rana Masechta Nedarim that I already read to you a couple of days ago, where the Ran in Masechta Nedarim says, what's Pshat? And why is Yesh Lamatirin Osu B'mino and Mutta Shein Amino? So the Ran says, in order for there to be Bittel, there has to be contrast. Contrast, Nigud, the Bana Hebrew word. Has to be a Nigud, a clash. To one another, so one bangs, rubs out the other. To use a different modern term. The rub out. So the Heter rubs out the Issa. You only have a rub out if there's a adversarial relationship, a conflict between Issa and Heter. Says the Ran, Yesh Lamatirin is a shvacha nigud, because even the Issa has Heter built into it. It's only a minor difference between one and the other. The difference is not vast and huge and great enough to warrant Bittel. Says the Ran, if that's the case, that's only true when it's min b'mino. But min b'sheino, when there's a physical contrast between one and the other. But the physical contrast of the Ran, plus the partial halakhic contrast, one is heter gomor, one is isa sheyeshlo heter, that's a partial contrast, plus a physical contrast, P&P, partial and physical, makes the grade. But if it's only a partial halakhic contrast and no physical contrast, not enough of a kind. That's the Ran's famous loveless in the Dharam Daf Nun Beis. Okay? If that's the case, we make the following comment. When is it considered only a partial halakha contrast? When this Isser has a permanent heter, and the other heter is mutter. But when this Isser's heter is itself reversible, it's usser, then mutter, and usser again, then it tips it over the line. It's closer to Isser. It's closer to Isser. There's enough of a halachic contrast to warrant Bittel, even in the absence of a physical contrast. You with me? That's the Mefarshim explained. That this issue of being us next year should be an irrelevancy. If you go on Rashi's Pshat, Ashad Ochlenim is Ochlenim Be'etah, should be extraordinarily relevant if you're following the so-called Ran's Pshat that depends upon how Osir or Mutter it is. Have you with me so far? At first glance, the same distinction should govern the issue which the Ran spoke about explicitly. Before I get to that. The Tzlach in Pesachim, Testament Beis. This is what the Melo HaRoam thought of on his own, and it's quoted in the Yalkut Mefarshim in Masechta Avodah Zarah. Well, it was in the Tzlach that I saw. Hold on. the different Dibra Maskels. I read it in my own eyes. The Tzlachi in Testament Beis refers back to what he wrote in Masechta Beitza. When it comes to certain kinds of Hanah, when it comes to Hanah, what he calls She'ein Bo Kilui, you can't say Ishta Matirin of Ad She'tochlenu B'yistochlenu Beitza. You can do it both. You can have it B'yistochlenu and Beitza. So why should I lose out on my opportunity to have that Hanah when it was B'yisr through Bittel? And then he says, I'm just saying it by heart, I'm not finding it here, I read it yesterday. Then he says, although that is only true of Hano She'ein Bo Kilui, which it's not going to be destroyed, Chazam et Alo Plug, once that kind of Hano, it's not called Yesh L'Matirin in Chometz Pesach, so too, it's never called a Yesh Lo Matirin. Even in any kind of a Hanoh suggests the Tzlach. I, when it comes to Tevel, if you look at Shabbos stuff, of course, that Chavov, that there's a distinction, that's on the level of the Raisa. But at the Rabbonimical level, it doesn't exist. I'm quoting you by heart from the Tzlach. For some reason, in this edition, I'm not looking at the right daf, or I'm just not finding it. But I'm telling you, I saw it in my own eyes. I'm not smart enough to know all these things. I saw it in the Tzlach. He quotes himself in Beitza, and he asks the kasha from Tevel, and he answers, that's the Raisa, this is the Rabbonim. Why I'm not finding it now, and when I saw it yesterday, I guess I'm just looking in the wrong place. I apologize. But I can't read it to you right now. Okay, maybe on Sunday I'll find it in this edition. Leave that up, if you remind me. Okay. So the other issue that the Ran talks about over here. The Ran, take a look at the Ran, please. It's right up a Ferish. The Ran is right in front of our noses. The Ran over here says as follows. Yesh lo matirin. I don't know. Here it is as follows. Yesh lo matirin is a derabbanon. Lo echmiru ba elok shamin ba'atzmo. This is found. The Ran on the fourth wide line, column one. He's calling that someone says Yesh Lo Matirin. This is phallus. Why is it Asa B'Mashu? Because it's Yesh Lo Matirin. Because it's Mutal Yachar Pesach. I am Shimon made a Knas. No. Modu. That they Tarovis Shari. So Tarovis there, Dovish Yesh Lo Matirinu. And Bemina B'Mashu. That's what the Ran quotes in Achaya. He doesn't like it. Vani, big bold letters, Vani. Big bold letters. I don't like it so much. Why? He says, Lo Achmiru, with paragraph V'od. Second line. Lo Achmiru Bo'elek Shamin Atzmo Osir Dios Niter. Avalkan Shechomet Atzmo Osir forever, because Rav Shimon's Knas, even though the Tarovas is Mutter, we should say it's not considered to be Yesh Lo Matirin. What's this Lomdus, Rav Osai? What's this Lomdus? The same Shaila, the Poskim suggests. If it's a matter of practicality, so this Tarovas is Yesh Lo Matirin. Achetoch Lena B'Yis, Achetoch Lena B'Heter. But if it's a Lomdus Shavar, Rav Osai, that Yesh Lo Matirin lacks the requisite contrast, from the head to the Isser, then it should depend upon the Isser itself, not upon a Tarovus of Isser. So here too, that Rashi Ran may be in fact governing. Okay? Let's give you a couple of places where the Machlokas Rashi and the Ran can be important. I made up to end at 12 o'clock so I can talk about the Parsha, so I'm going to stop here. Also give you a little bit more time to Chazak because we're not yet finished with these in Yonim. On Sunday we're going to go back to some of these things, so it'll be another opportunity to Chazak again. But we have to make some progress about it. We can't just march in place. So I hope that you'll have a chance over Shabbos to bone up a little bit on some of these things we spoke about today. And what we call your day of Dick and Yonasans. It'll stand you a good stand in your own kitchen, Rav Osai. Even if you never go for smicha. You should know a little bit what's going on, the basics of kashrus. And this is daf. This is the daf to know the basics of kashrus. How to run a kitchen. Even when I learn chulin, which is, I guess, the more important masechta. But if you learn psachim, this is the daf. Lamed for long. Yes?
Let me just clarify yesterday what you said, that the ra'ah only had one set of dishes in his kitchen.
Next week. Coming attractions. I mean, maybe more than next week. We will read the ra'ah inside. I will show it to you inside of one set of dishes. It's based on daflamed. If you want to peek ahead, look on the ritva here on daflamed. Look. You see quotes his Rebbe the Ra'ah, and the footnote will tell you, look on the ritva on Avodah Zarah. There he actually begs his Rebbe to buy another set. He's almost willing to pay for it. I mean, that's what I say that. Rebbe refuses. There's only one set of dishes. But also, I want to talk to you a little bit about the Parsha Shavua. Vayigdilu hanorim. Vayi esav ish yodei atzayit ish sodeh. V'yakov ish tam yoshev oholim. I'm about to say, how many times have you heard that pasuk in the last 6 days? How many?
Three.
I hope. You heard it on Shabbos Mincha, and on Monday, and this morning. Right? I think it's the first pasuk in the third aliyah. I think so. Those who were paying attention, I think so. Those who were half asleep, I think so. The Medrash Rabbah on that pasuk says as follows. When they turned bar mitzvah, that's called the gadol and bar mitzvah. Until that time, you couldn't tell Yaakov from Esav. You have a mushroom of a vegetation. You can't tell what kind of vegetation it is. When it gets bigger, one is a delicious fruit-bearing vegetation, and one just only has thorns. So too, Yaakov and Esav, when they were young, more or less the same. They became gedolim. So Yaakov Avinu went to the Beis Medrash, or Yoshev Aholim, and Esav became an ish sodah. Mikan. Shechayev odom letapel bibno ad sheyagia lid gimel shana. V'chakam omer baruch sheftarani mi'onshul shozeh. The entire source of the bracha baruch sheftarani is only the Medrash Rabbah in Parashas Tolos. For this reason, there are more paskins in Baruch Chaim Siman Reish Chopeh, I believe, that we say without shema malchus. You may remember when you became bar mitzvah, you got an aliyah. Your father said baruch. How many words did he say? Four or more? Probably only four. Four or five, when it shows that's one word or two. Four or five words. Baruch sheftarani mi'onshul shozeh. In the original Art Scroll Siddurim, when they first came out with Art Scroll, it said like this. Baruch, parentheses. Atah Hashem lekenet melech olam, close parentheses. Sheftarani mi'onshul shozeh. That's at the bottom. According to the Gra, you say it with shema malchus. Because the Gra said, I don't care if it's in the Medrash or Gemara. It's Chazal. They took it out. People were ignoring the, you know, people just look quickly. They don't see parentheses. They just read straight. And the Rabbanu was going, getting very antsy. They took it out. Okay. So you see the people can have input even on art school publications. Okay. Fine. So the question is raised by the what does the word mean? What do the words mean? Sharaim Ashul Shozeh. The Mogan Avram there in Reish Chafek, what's a machlokas between him and the Levush? From one opposite to the other. The Mogan Avram is the most popular pshat. Until now, the father says, I was punishable for my son's sins. That was Chayv and Chinuch. Now I turn 13, I'm punished from being punished on his sins. This is the Mogan Avram. It's a classical pshat. He asked the guy in the street, he'll tell you. Levush is fakert. Until 13, Chas v'shalom, the son could be punished for the sins of his father. Sounds cruel. The Mefurash of Rambam, the Mefurash of Medrash, I believe in Rus. Once he turns 13, the son will no longer be punished for the father's sins. Oh, Baruch Hashem, says the father. Till now I was so nervous, my son's going to be punished for my sins. Now, Ish Bechetto Yemosu. He's going to be only punished for his own sins, not for mine. That's the Ish. Someone's not an Ish yet, to be punished for the father's sins. That's the Levush's trap. Opposites from one another. Even near Ozan, opposites. Prima Gada makes a cash against both Pshat. Why is Baruch Sheftarani limited to a father and a son? Why not a father daughter, mother son, mother daughter for that matter? He has a lengthy discussion of it. You can look it up at yourself, Reish Chaf Hei. And his terutzim, as they say in Yiddish, I will say it in English, the kash is better than the teretz. He gives terutzim, well, maybe the father not obligated in the chinuch of the daughter. That's shver, we pass the risk of the chiv of chinuch. Or maybe if it's a daughter, she can get married before she turns 12. If she's married, so it's the husband's problem, not the father's problem. All right, but who gets married before 12? All right. The answers like this, which are not less than satisfying. It's a big problem. It's a big, big, big problem. So Lania's daiti, the answer is, and I found the kernel of my answer in the Radal, in his Pirish in the Medrash Rab, which is printed in the standard Medrash. A third pshat in the bracha, not likely Mogan Avraham or the Lavush. A third pshat, which is a contextual pshat, based on the context, Rav Osai, of the medrash which I read you from. I sort of repeated it from the very beginning. It starts with my pshat starts with a Rambam, an interesting Rambam, the opening Rambam in Hilchos Talmud Torah. Rambam in Hilchos, the first Rambam. Noshim va'avonim uktanim p'turim mitalmud Torah. Avol koton oviv chayal am the Torah shenema v'limatem otzmas p'neich. There are both sides. You may be taking English composition, writing classes, or the writing center. They'll probably tell you that whenever you write anything, you first put down the rule, and then you put down the exception. No one can give the Rambam writing lessons. Rambam was the best writer that we have. I don't know. The Rambam was the writer. The. I mean, he had a golden pen. Why does he start with on the left foot? With the exceptions before the rule. My answer is as follows. It's inconceivable to the Rambam to discuss an obligation of A to teach B Torah unless B has no chiyuv of his own. If B has his own chiyuv, so B has a chiyuv. Why should A be chayv? So in order to present the obligation of A to teach B Torah, Rambam had to first introduce that B is exempt on his own. Therefore, Noshim Avon Muktanim Turim Etam Torah. Aha! Avol HaKotan Oviv Chayv Lam Do Torah. Notice the word Kotan is used. According to the Rambam, the way I read it straight, once the boy turns Bar Mitzvah, the father is relieved from the obligation of Limadatam Osus B'Nechem V'Davar Bo. Doesn't exist anymore. He has his own obligation to learn. Do you mean to tell me that a father can let his kid run hefker after the kid turns bar mitzvah? Chas v'chalila. He has an obligation to make him into a mensch. And part of making him into a mensch, he should get married after bar mitzvah. He has to have a parnosa after bar mitzvah. He has to learn after bar mitzvah. As a matter of fact, the Gemara Kiddushin says that the chiv of a father of the limatam is limited to Torah shebichsav. It doesn't even apply to Torah shebal peh. Even before Bar Mitzvah. Well, meaning the father has no chiyuv, this kid should become a Gemariot? Of course he has a Zechazanish. It's just not included in the Matam of Spinechim. That's a technical halacha which is limited to Torah Shebichsav until he turns Bar Mitzvah. Are you with me so far? Now we understand why a father is required to make a Baruch Shem Torah when he turns Bar Mitzvah, not because he's going to be punished for his child's sins or his child's going to be punished for his sins. No, he is completing his obligation of limadatam osmas b'nechem. Chayav adam l'tamal b'vnoa, the Gemara Shana means limadatam osmas b'nechem, teach him Torah shebichsav. And then he says, Baruch Shem Torani. Since it's a function of limadatam osmas b'nechem, the Gemara dash is below b'no seche, and therefore the mother is also exempt. It's limited to father-son. Doesn't apply to father-daughter, or to mother-daughter, or to mother-son. This also explains the minig Yisrael. Every minig has a source. The bracha is not made when he turns 13 on the clock. The bracha is made at his first aliyah. Why? Because in the olden days, the person who got the aliyah would read from the Torah. So if the 13-year-old can actually open up a chumash, a sefer Torah, and read an aliyah, Baruch Hashem, he is competent in Torah Shebichsav. That means the father completed his obligation. When the son lands his bar mitzvah, Baruch Hashem, I taught him Torah Shebichsav. I fulfilled the limadatam. That's Baruch Shem Torani. I did it. I like my pshat. But again, the kernels in the Radal. I thought about it on my own before I even saw the Radal. I like the pshat. I think it answers all the kashas of the Prima Gadim. You know, I'm mindful of the fact that it's against both of the Moshe and the Avraham. Okay, it's not a good place to be. But at least my pshat, I think a better answer to the Prima Gadim's questions. Just to conclude, let's talk a little bit about bas mitzvahs. Because after all, Baruch Shem Tron is when it comes to bar mitzvah. So when it comes to bas mitzvah, we find radically divergent views amongst the Gedolim. Rav Moshe has two tshuvas about it. First one, he writes, Chas v'shaltanek a bas mitzvah, the capping from the Reform and the Conservative, prohibited. Someone wrote him a question back, the Rebbe, why do I have a bar mitzvah? So the Yamshel Shlomo, the Marshal Baba Kama, says, is based upon a Mefurash Gemara Kiddush and a Baba Kama, both places. Rav Yosef was blind, and when he found out that Godol, that a Tzuma is Chayev, and Godol a Tzuma V'yosef, made a Yom HaTov the Rabbon. Why? He made a big Mesiva, because it's good to be a Metzuma V'yosef. Says the Marshal, if Rav Yosef, who made such a Yom HaTov the Rabbonah, upon being informed that he was a Mitzvah V'yosef, Kal V'chomer by mitzvah, that he actually becomes a Mitzvah V'yosef. With me? The Machzis HaShekel on that Mogad Avraham in Reish Chafei quotes this Marshal Baba Kama. Says Rav Moshe, says Rav Avadya, Yechav Adas, you see from here, Bar and Bas Mitzvah are identical. The same as a man becomes Mitzvah at 13, a woman becomes Mitzvah at 12. And Rav Moshe is wrong. So Rav Moshe responded to someone asking this question by saying as follows. When a boy becomes a Mitzvah, you can tell. How can you tell? He puts on tefillin, he counts for a minion. When a girl becomes Bas Mitzvah, you can't tell. You can't tell, there's no part. Yes, me. I might have said the reverse. You can't tell, you better make a party. I think you can tell. So I'm going to give you my compromise. Rabosai, the Mogad Avraham, right there, Reish Chafei says, quoting from Likutim, which means probably some kind of a Zohar or something, I'm not sure what it is, that a person is required to make a bar mitzvah for his son as he makes a wedding for his son. And that's pretty elaborate, Rabosai. That's pretty elaborate. A bar mitzvah like a wedding, people complain, yeah, it's a Mefurash Shem Mogad Avraham. Mefurash Shem Mogad Avraham. If you ask me, I would downscale the weddings. But, okay. That's for a different topic. Okay, fine. Says the Machzis HaShekel that this Mogad Avraham and the Marshal is one and the same thing. But I humbly disagree. They're two separate things. Talking about two different people. The Marshal is talking about the Bacha by Mitzvah himself. When he turns 13, he has an obligation to make a Yom HaTov L'Rabbon. As if Yosef did. However, the Mogad Avraham's obligation is not on the son, it's on the father. Chayav, the father is obligated to make a Sudas Mitzvah when his son is by Mitzvah. The same as when he marries off his son. You know, in the famous in Kiddushin, what are the obligations of the father towards the son? What are they? Come on. Lemulo, Liftoso. Ulamdo Torah, La Siyarisha, Ulamdo Umnus. Some say to swim. Whenever he achieves one of these, he makes a Mesiva, right? Bris, we choose like to eat. Bris, Suda. Pinyin Aben, Suda. Ulamdo Torah, you finish that by Mitzvah, Suda. La Siyarisha, Suda. Ulamdo Umnus, when is that? College graduation? Graduate school? Medical school? Residency? I don't know when you actually reach that point in life, Baruch Hashem, finish paying tuitions. Yeah, so it would be a reason for another receiver. So the Nias Daiti, I want to chart a middle course between the two Gedolim of the Shlita, well, Rav Avadya Shlita, and Hazel Ben Chaim Chaim Rav Moshe Zecher Tzadik Livracha. When it comes to a girl, there are two obligations. One applies and one doesn't apply. The obligation on the girl herself applies the same as by a boy himself. Rav Avadya is correct. But the father's obligation, which is based on the Lamed Torah, doesn't apply to a daughter. So what do you do? Halacha lemaaseh about your bas mitzvah. You're going to have bas mitzvah daughters. Mitzvah Hashem down the road, not so far away. Mr. Shav, you'll remember this shir. What should I do for my daughter's bat mitzvah? So my view, to ignore it is not appropriate. To make it like a bar mitzvah is not appropriate, because bar mitzvah is your party. You invite all your closest friends and relatives to your party, like you would for a wedding, you know. Guest list, which we make for weddings, taken from our bar mitzvahs. As we all, everyone's made both knows, or visited both knows. But bas mitzvah has nothing to do with me. It's my daughter. Who would she invite to her party? We know who wants to invite to her party. Her friends! And what kind of party would she want to have? A pizza party, a hot dog party, a hamburger party. And what do? Dancing, you know, they maybe have a chesed project. Well, some whatever, that's what they do. So I have Baruch Hashem three daughters. Each and every one was a party, either in school or in shul, when the classmates came and they, you know, they had a good time. As 12-year-old girls have a good time. No one else was invited. Just some friends. However, because I like to have for my own nachas, so we had a little thing around our own dining room table where the closest family came. Siblings and grandparents, just the closest family. And then my daughter said a Dvar Torah, that it shouldn't be a Zivchei Mason. And that's how we celebrated. So if I care, they had to do it too. One was at my table and one was just for the friends at school. Bar mitzvah has the additional dimension of being like a wedding, so we made a bit more elaborate to fulfill the mandate of the Mogen Avraham, which should be somewhat more like a wedding. I invited my friends, my balabatna from my shul, my relatives, you know, that's my word over here on this week's parsha. So I'm not sure that I'm right either about the Baruch Shem Tarani or about the Suda's Bar Bas Mitzvah, but I think the Mahalach that I'm suggesting would make logical sense to distinguish between males and females, but not just based upon blind gender discrimination, but in the fact that the Torah says B'neichem, Chazal Hashem lo b'noseichem. We have to accept the wisdom of our Chazal, and the rest follows. I think it's very important to address these issues, because sometimes they say, oh, the halacha is, you know, has one for boys and one for girls, and it's just arbitrary, and it's just cruel, and it's just discriminatory, da 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 da, as we hear often. No, it's a cheshbon, and the cheshbon goes back to the divine wisdom of the Torah, which we have no right to question, and we have to try to implement it to the best of our understanding. A good Shabbos.
Should we remember where the children of Moshe and what about, is it a fact that is it a relevant fact that Bas Mitzvah sort of like as a chatzah on its own is sort of a very new minhag? I don't think it's something
that in the old days they didn't make Bar Mitzvahs either. When I called Bar Mitzvah, what they have? Are we still on tape? I might be wrong, but